You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the late 1930s, there lived a devout Christian man, Herr Schroeder, in the German port city of Kiel. This time, the Nazi Party was firmly in control of the country, and fanatical devotion to Adolf Hitler was at its peak. On the 20th of April in 1939, Germany acknowledged Hitler's 50th birthday with, frankly, over-the-top celebrations. Every city and every household was ordered to hang a swastika flag, including all the homes in Kiel. But Herr Schroeder did not have, nor did he want to have, a Nazi flag, and he refused to hang one outside of his home. He was a devout follower of Jesus, not a follower of the maniacal Hitler. Refusing to fly the Nazi flag on this day, however, was traitorous. It was a highly visible form of dangerous dissent. He likely faced all kinds of pressure from his family and friends. You could almost guess the questions and the pressing advice. And really, what difference could flying a flag make, after all, to one's faith? I mean, really, isn't it just a piece of fabric? Eventually, Herr Schroeder did decide to fly a flag. He had served in the German Navy in World War I, and he scrambled up to his attic looking for a nautical flag. The flag he chose was a signal flag from ships coming into harbor when they required someone to guide them into the port who knew the way. Herr Schroeder, on the day that all Germany paid tribute to their leader, Adolf Hitler, he flew the nautical flag that said, "I need a pilot." He needed a pilot, a person to lead him to safe harbor in that moment. But what he signaled was that Hitler wasn't his pilot. Now, the Christians living in the first century Philippi also needed a pilot. They needed someone to follow. Paul, rather boldly, writes to them, "Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who walk according to the example you have in us." Who are the us examples Paul refers to along with himself? If you're familiar at all with the earlier part of Paul's letter, you know that already he has encouraged his followers to put on Christ. "Let the same mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus," he urged them. Follow the example of Jesus. And then later he reminded them of Timothy's example. And then a little bit later, someone from their own congregation, Epaphroditus's example. Jesus is the exemplar for all his followers. He is the one who opened the trail. He is the pilot, our leader, our author and pioneer of our faith. Jesus shows us the way to walk in his very incarnation. He possessed all the divine privileges of glory and goodness, and yet he didn't hang on to all of that. He did not grasp at those privileges in showing us the way. After all, how could he pilot from heaven? Pilots don't mail in their instructions, they get in the boat. Mountain guides don't pass you a map, they break trail with their feet. The only way that Jesus could truly be our example, our pilot, our guide along the path of life is if he walked it himself with human feet. Feet that would walk dusty roads so that he could tell transforming stories along the way. Feet that would walk to Jerusalem knowing that trial and punishment awaits him. Feet that would walk the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering on the way to Golgotha. Feet that would be pierced by cruel nails. Feet that would be entombed. And yet feet that were gloriously raised from the dead by God the Father. Feet that ascended into heaven, still bearing their marks, and then will return in glory to walk on earth again. This is the example set by Jesus, followed by Paul, and to be imitated by us. Paul, like Jesus, acknowledged that all his Jewish background and privileges were rubbish, to put it kindly, and gave them up to gain Christ. Our epistle for this morning urges the Philippians to adopt the same attitude to their own privileges as did Paul. They belonged to a Roman colony, and though Paul could make creative use of his Roman citizenship, his gospel cut across the grain of Orthodox Roman belief and behavior. 50 years earlier, the Mediterranean world had hailed Augustus as Savior and as Lord of the world. He had, in a way, brought peace to the known world and ruled unchallenged over a massive empire. Roman citizens, wherever they were, including places like Philippi, cherished their privileged status and security. If enemies threatened, their Savior Lord would come from the mother city to rescue them. By Paul's day, Caesar was openly worshipped, especially in the eastern part of the empire. Now, I hope knowing a little bit of the background behind that display of devotion at the celebration of Hitler's birthday might help you to understand the threat that Herr Schröder lived with. I hope also that knowing a little bit about the background about first century Philippi helps you to understand some of the threats in that city as well for the followers of Jesus. And so then listen again to that against the background. But our citizenship is in heaven. And it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of his glory by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. For the Christian, there is only one Savior and Lord. There is only one pilot, one guide. There is only one mother hen, only one citizenship, only one Lord who can make us stand firm. The Philippians must be ready to abandon the imitation game in order to embrace the reality. The conclusion of Paul's words encourages them to find their identity, find their security, their way in which to walk in only this Lord and nobody else. Our Lord is acquainted with the waters of life we sail in because he walked on the water. Our Lord is acquainted with our Lenten way because he walked in the wilderness too. There is no use in looking to any other ruler, ancient or modern, who does not follow the footsteps of Jesus. Whereas other leaders are prepared to sacrifice their own citizens for their own glory, our leader sacrificed to save us. He walked the hard road of slavery and rescue, the way of the cross. As Paul encourages the Philippians and us that we are citizens of high heaven and we await the arrival of the Savior, our Master, Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly bodies into his glorious body. We look to Jesus and all those who follow him on the path to the cross and beyond. We need examples to follow. Yes, people like Paul and Timothy, like Epaphroditus, but ultimately we need more than an example. We need Jesus, the one who gathers us up under the shelter of his warm wings, or as Herr Schröder would signal, we need a pilot. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.